Good evening. I'm your host, Colin Wilson tonight. Zach Lawford couldn't be here for Sports Talk in the Berg. We have Sam Anthony, Ian Kist, and Colin Wilson, myself. And basically, lots happened since the last time we were on air.
Positive and negative.
Definitely. Definitely, Ian. But the main one being the Ben Roethlisberger injury. Michael Vick has to take over. So where does that leave us as the Pittsburgh organization tries to move on? Ian?
Well, we brought Vic in. They brought Vic in for a situation like this, and his time has come, basically. And Vic, we trust. If it's not for Vic, then it's going to be Landry Jones. So I'm happy that we have Vic now, but confidence in him, learning the offense, apparently it's going to be tough for him. That's what practice is for, and unfortunate. It's the short week.
But the offense isn't game. The offense isn't built for him. You know, that's the one problem. You're looking at Vic as a style quarterback that wants to run.
He's a scrambler.
And you got to see that a little bit against the Rams, and it didn't work. You know, he was 5 for 6, 38 yards. Mm-hmm. That doesn't say a lot. You know, it says he's completing passes, but that's because he's running around. You know, he's trying to make these passes, or just trying to run the ball, actually, and it's just not working. I mean, I know the Rams have a great front line, but you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens, and even without Terrell Suggs, they are a great defense. You know, it's going to be something where he's going to need to learn that offense. I think that Todd Haley has a good system, you know, the short passes, which are good for him, because I don't think Vic should be trying to toss that ball deep. You know, that's something that you have not seen him typically play well, but.
And I think we're going to see a lot of Bell, not necessarily in the passing game. They're going to hand to him at least 30 times. They have to.
Yeah.
You got to go to your next best player in offense.
Next man up.
And that's debatable, Brown or Bell, but in a situation when Brown can't get the passes, you got to give it to Bell. You don't have Suggs.
Yeah, which is huge.
He's out. But then you have the Ravens, and everybody's like, well, the Ravens are 0-3. Records don't matter.
It's Baltimore.
The Steelers are known. It's Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Steelers are known to play down to their opponents. But, like, in my eye, the Ravens aren't 0-3. Like, they're playing better than 0-3. But it's Ravens, Steelers, Heinz Field, primetime, Thursday night. It's going to be a classic game. Yeah. Like, it always is between the two teams.
But you also got to think ahead. You got to think ahead. This is 1 week. The Steelers' goal right now is to survive. It's to get, you know, 2 or 3 wins, hopefully more. And, you know, by the time Roethlisberger gets back, still be in the playoff chase. Because, you know, we come back. Or when Roethlisberger comes back, you're looking at him playing Seattle, Denver, you know, these teams where you're going to have to bring your game. We're going to Seattle to play. And that's something where, you know, I think that's at least we're getting him back for those.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I want to touch on that. How do you think the Steelers will – how do you think they'll do overall after this injury? They have 6 weeks until Ben Roethlisberger is supposed to come back, hopefully. They have 7 until their bye week. Now, what do you think the record will be after this Roethlisberger injury is taken care of?
Optimistically, I would like to say 4 wins. I'd like to say that we, you know, figure out the offense, what's going to work for us. You know, you have one of the best receiving corps in the NFL, and you're going to have, you know, hopefully Michael Vick's able to make enough plays that the Steelers can stay in this. But it's ultimately going to come up to that defense. And the defense has looked better. Besides, let's count that New England game aside. New England has a great offense. But you're looking at a team that held St. Louis to 6 points and a team that really held San Francisco to 3 points besides, you know, the 15 garbage time points in the fourth quarter when we were already done. So I'm looking for them to really step it up in those games and allow Michael Vick to be able to just make enough plays where they stay ahead.
If Ben misses 4 games, I want us to split it 2-2. If he's out 6, 3-3. Of course, I want us to win all the games he's out. But realistically, is that going to happen? Probably not. Look when Ben missed for his suspension, going against NFL conduct policy a few years ago, we split, I believe. So that was with Dennis Dixon. So hopefully, obviously, Vic's a little better than
clearly
Dixon.
But he's older.
But Vic's older, not the type of offense he's used to.
He's barely been here. You know, Dixon was in that
and
system.
And do you think Vic kind of signed thinking, okay, I'll sign with the Steelers. It's not my type of job, but it's a job.
Yeah, he was.
It gets me the paychecks. So I think a little bit now he's like, oh, crap, it's time for me to show who I am and basically prove all his haters in Pittsburgh wrong.
Well, because he's confident. He went out there. He's saying he's ready to take this offense on. And I think
he said he's great. Obviously, he's going to be a little nervous, like a little shaky. Yeah. And we're going to see that begin the game. But see how he settles in as the game progresses.
And I agree with both of you on the fact it is going to be a transition. It's definitely not high expectations so far. But I'm really looking at this Baltimore game to be kind of the make or break point. Baltimore on a Thursday, short week, who knows, but Le'Veon Bell has a game under his belt now in the season. Baltimore 0-3, but Ian, you said records don't matter. I completely agree. They played Cincinnati tough. But if they
battled back.
Exactly. But if they can come and get a win against Baltimore, who's, you know, division rivalry.
And they're not, and Baltimore's going to look for, obviously, for their first win.
Oh, exactly.
But more importantly, they don't want to lose two straight AFC North
definitely
games.
Because that basically puts them out
yeah, early in the season. They got to do some work.
Exactly. I mean, they're already on a bad end, but they definitely need this win. But if the Steelers can go out and get a win against Baltimore, then they have four extra days until they're at San Diego on a Monday night. And San
That's
Diego,
huge.
Exactly. And if they can get a win there, which with the four extra day rest for the Steelers and Michael Vick to prepare, I think that's definitely capable. You're 2-0, and then you go in and you play Arizona at home on a shorter week. That's going to be a tough game. Arizona's the top five team in the NFL right now. So I'm going to count that as a loss right now. You're 2-1. You play, I believe, at Kansas City then. That's a toss-up game right there, especially if you're 2-1.
You never know
Vic.
How Kansas City's
exactly.
going to play you.
You don't know. And then you have Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati and the Steelers, you know, division rivalry. That could be a toss-up game. Even if you lose that, and I'm going to say Kansas City's a win, you're 3-2. Then you go and you play Oakland.
We
at
never
home.
Play well against Oakland.
That's very true. And, you know.
And Oakland's looking good this year.
They are.
That's
they're,
true.
They're not looking like a playoff team, but they're looking like an 8-8
exactly.
team.
Exactly. But you never know. I believe the Steelers are capable of winning that game. That's definitely a capable win for them. You're 4-2 after Oakland. Then you go, and Ben Roethlisberger is supposed to come back after 6 weeks.
Hopefully.
But if he is, then you have Cleveland, and then you go into a bye week. If you're 4-2, I'd almost sit Ben Roethlisberger out another week, rest him up. If Vic's playing well at this point, you go in, you play at home against Cleveland. That looks like a winnable game. You don't know who you're going to get, McCown or Manziel, but I don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have Bryant back by this time. You're going to have him back for San Diego. So that definitely gives him time to prepare for Vic. And, you know, Martavius Bryant being a deep threat, that helps with
yeah,
Vic.
Yeah, and we get Martavius back in a few weeks. That makes a big
exactly.
difference because Vic can fling the ball.
Oh, exactly.
And you got so many targets, you know.
Yeah, at least he's not like – at least he has Bell, Bryant, and Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Targets for him in Darius Hayward Bay. Yeah. If they use him, they should.
And Wheaton has.
We've seen Wheaton. We've seen him on the Hayward Bay on the screen passes.
Hayward Bay has come out,
and that's gonna be key. Haley likes those little draw passes. Those little
yeah, you see
slants.
You swing Bell out.
You swing Bell out. He loves the little passes, and the team basically has his offense has to show. Then they can do the little stuff before he decides to go for the big play. So you're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we're going to – you really can't – with a guy like Vic, and we've seen him with Kaepernick, you can't tell him he can't run the ball.
Yeah.
Because that's in his instinct to run the ball. That's how he was. That's how he was with Atlanta. The Eagles love that type of – quarterback anyways. I love the type of offense, so he fit in there well with Chip Kelly when he was there.
Didn't work with the Jets because that wasn't
it
that system.
It wasn't Rex Ryan's system.
Yeah.
And it's not Tomlin's system or in Todd Haley's system.
Yeah.
More specifically, but and like they told then they gotta tell Vic like they told Kaepernick this year, you only run an emergency situation.
Yeah.
So you're gonna try to see Vic only run when he has to scramble, when a linebacker's right on top of him to sack him.
Now, here's the interesting thing to think about, though, because this does open up another opportunity for the Steelers is should they consider, you know, trying to run stuff like the read option, like the wildcat, You know, because when you bring in like a guy like Michael Vick, that's immediately what you think of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that could add another dynamic to the game. You know, you get him and Le'Veon Bell up there. You know, who are you gonna give it to? And that one thing is, you know, you're kind of playing towards Vick's game, but the other thing is you're also making it easier for Le'Veon Bell. You know, you're not always gonna give the ball up to Le'Veon Bell. You're gonna switch it up. You know, you could potentially get Williams and Bell each on the side.
They both showed, and now that they may have to go to Bell more in this game, you may see Bell line up in the slot.
Exactly. And you saw how,
and put Angelo in the backfield.
And you saw how A.J. Green went off against Baltimore's defense, had 227 receiving yards. I believe Antonio Brown's capable of that, especially with Bell in the backfield being, you know, used as a weapon. So it definitely is interesting. The short week definitely hurts because of the preparation that Michael Vick has with the first team offense, but it'll be an interesting game.
It's a learning experience.
Oh, definitely.
If it doesn't go the way it is, he shouldn't be down about himself.
No.
Ben will obviously coach him. He can't be down about himself. He just has to learn from his mistakes, and it's a short week. Unfortunate, that's how it is, but.
So
just gotta learn.
So now the thing is, do we think the Steelers are gonna be able to win this game? Are they gonna be able to go? I mean, I know it's a home game, but are they gonna be able to perform on a short week without their starting quarterback and come out and beat the Ravens?
I think they will. It's gonna be a Scobie winner at the end. Yeah, that's a lot. But he looked good against St. Louis.
He looked better.
Yes, it was indoors, but still.
Now
I think we're gonna come out with a 3-point win.
Yeah, I'm on a toss up with this game right now. It's kind of hard to predict because of the short week. Baltimore 0-3 this year, struggling at times, but played Cincinnati tough most of the day. 28-24 victory for Cincinnati. Pittsburgh coming off a low scoring win against St. Louis, and they lost Ben late in that game. It was, I think, 9-6 when they lost him, so yep. It was still a close game. But St. Louis is a tough opponent. I think they're capable of winning, but do I think they will win? I'm still at a toss up for that. I can't call it right now.
And I see where you're coming from because, you know, you really don't know what to expect here.
Exactly.
You know, you're going in kind of unknown. I think what's exciting about this is, you know, this year more than anything with Roethlisberger, the Steelers probably had the most explosive offense they've in 10 years. So I think without this, you're going to see a little bit more of the old school, you know, Ravens-Steelers game where it's 13-10, you know, it's going to be turnovers at the end. The question for Pittsburgh is, you know, you look at these games and it was always a Troy Polamalu interception, a James Harrison forced fumble. You know, who's going to step up? Because James Harrison's old, he shouldn't be making those plays, and Troy Polamalu's gone. You know, are we going to see Shazier come back and be able to make those plays, make the difference? Are we going to see, like, Stephon Tuohy, who is currently just making great plays on the D-line, which surprises me.
It's not going to be a pretty one. And you hear Tallman always in his post-game comments say, it's not pretty, but a win.
But that's Steelers football.
A win is a win. You say, yeah, that's Steelers football. A win's a win. Ravens and Steelers are never pretty. There's always injuries. There's always
fouls.
There's always penalties. There's smack talking all throughout the game, before the game. Post after the game handshakes, it's never pretty, and both teams are feeling it after win or loss, and seldom do you see a blowout, and it's typically the Ravens blowing us out.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be you typically see a blowout in at Baltimore.
Yeah.
At Heinz, I don't know what it is. It's always seems like more of a physical matchup when it's at Heinz Field.
Definitely. Now, a lot of people have thought that the low hit on Roethlisberger may have been dirty, per se. Roethlisberger commented on that, saying he didn't think it was intentional, but it was low.
Obviously, it was low.
Yeah,
so,
he thought it should have drawn a flag under NFL rules.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that, Sam?
So, I first want to say I really do respect Ben Roethlisberger. He could have gone out there and he could have said all sorts of things about Mark Barron hitting him low, you know, called him out. And, you know, he took the high road, you know, and I know he's in a lot of pain. He's upset that he can't be back.
Definitely.
I really don't think it was dirty. Looking at that play, it was a very fast play, and it did look like he stumbled and fell. And, you know, you're playing a game. People are going to get hurt. You know, and they're right. It should have merited a foul because that helmet went right into the knee. It was a low hit. But Do I think it's a dirty play? No.
I think a lot of people think it's a dirty play because Ben always gets his most common injury is the knee, ankle, leg, part of his body, and concussion. So, but of course, Pittsburghers are going to think of it's a dirty hit just because their star quarterback's out now. I don't think it was a dirty hit low, but that's the way he stumbled and fell into him. He didn't – why would a Ram want to hurt Ben Roethlisberger? Why would anybody want to hurt, like, another player? But not even the same conference.
Yeah, I mean, they barely play each other.
It's luck of the draw when they play each other. But if it would be a different circumstance if it was a Raven, a Brown, mm-hmm. or a Bengal player that hit him.
And I agree with both of you. I don't think it was dirty, like both of you said. It looked like he had stumbled. And, of course, if you stumble and the quarterback's right there, you're going to try to make a play. That's a given. It was a low hit. Did it deserve a flag? Possibly. I mean, it was around the knee, ankle area. So you definitely have to look at that as a referee and call it accordingly. But definitely was not a dirty hit, in my opinion. Mainly because, you know, it didn't look intentional. I mean, he stumbles. You know, Ben's coming up in the pocket. He's right there. He's going to make a play. That's a given in football.
In the end, as much as it hurts to see Ben Roethlisberger out, we're lucky he's only out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, you look at a hit like that and you're thinking, you know, the first thing I thought was ACL, MCL, you know, done for the year. It was a sprain. And we won that game. And you can sit there and you can look at the call you want. It happened. So I think, you know, the best thing you got to do is, you know, move on. You know, why worry about the past? We should be thinking about, the Steelers should be thinking about who they're playing next exactly. and making sure that they win these games.
And I think the whole team has that mentality right now. It's the media that doesn't. They're going to talk about the hit all week because it did catch the eyes of ESPN and everybody. Of course, Pittsburgh sports guys are going to talk. Personnel are going to talk about it. But I think the team, they have to move on. Your season moves on. Yeah. Talk about the injury all you want, but the season moves on.
Now, the Steelers received a lot of flack when signing Michael Vick. We all know this.
Yep.
And now he gets his shot in the Steelers organization as a starting quarterback.
All those haters will quiet their mouth when he wins us a game.
And that's my question. If he comes out and he goes, you know, 4-2 while Ben's gone, or maybe he goes 1-5, what do you think is going to be the reaction of the Steelers fan base, regardless of what Michael Vick does, if he just comes out and performs the way he has to? Sam?
So, first off, I personally don't think that this will work. I don't think Michael Vick's the quarterback for this. I think that he hasn't been able to play well since 2010. You know, that's 5 years ago. And do I think he's better than Landry Jones? Yes. I have no faith in Landry Jones. I do think, though, that you're going to see Steelers fans calling for his head. Yeah. What do you think, Ian?
Haters are going to hate. They hate us because they ain't us. Nice quote from the interview. But I don't know. Michael Vick, if he comes in and wins the game, the true Steeler fans that are also animal rights activists are going to come back to being Steeler fans that say that they weren't Steeler fans anymore, which is ridiculous, but can't explain people's thoughts. But the ones that are true animal activists, they're going to hate Michael Vick and the Steelers until Michael Vick's gone.
And I understand. I agree that the fans that really just had a problem with Michael Vick that are Steelers fans will just, if he wins, they're going to be happy. They're not going to complain. Now, there are some animal activists out there that will always
because that's what they believe in.
And I understand that. And that's fine. You know, you believe what you believe. And I completely understand that. I have no hard feelings.
Because Michael Vick's always going to get hated by animal activists, even though he is one now, apparently. But the ones that are Steeler fans and animal activists, come on.
You know, it's all going to see what happens on Thursday night. You know, you got to sit there and see what happens. Because, you know, I don't necessarily think a win or lose is going to decide that. I think it's how Michael Vick actually plays. Is he going to get out there, and is he going to give the Steelers a chance to be competitive? And you're going to see that right off the bat, I think. I think it's going to be a tough game in Baltimore. I think that they're going to come after him. His age will definitely show. That's going to be one of those things, is he's going to have to be able to play consistently down the stretch, even as his body wears down, which is where players like Le'Veon Bell come in. You know, you have to realize that we can't put this game on Michael Vick's shoulders if we want to win. Mm-hmm. You have so much talent around Michael Vick that you can help make him better.
I'm gonna cut you off. We're gonna accept a phone call right now.
All
right. If I can do this, 1 second. Hello? You're on Sports Talk and the Bird.
Maybe. We're going to see here. We're all very new at this radio technology.
Yes, definitely. We're going to come back to that. It didn't seem to work.
Do we want to take a quick break here?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. And thank you for tuning in today on Sports Talk and the Bird. RMU, your campus, your voice.
In that tiny moment before the next song, we've already studied millions, so you get the perfect one.
If you love like that, blood runs, cause baby.
In that tiny moment before the next song, we've already studied millions, so you get the perfect one. Gotta raise a little hell.
Welcome back to Sports Talk in the Berg. Colin Wilson, Ian Kiss, Sam Anthony here. You can listen to us at rmuradio.com and check out our podcast as well. They upload every week, Sports Talk in the Berg. Oh, and we have a phone call. We're going to try this again. 1 second. Hello, you're on Sports Talk in the Berg. Hello?
This is just not going to work today, is it?
It is not. It is not working.
You know, we had the guy come in and show us how to do it and everything. All right.
It does not look like it's going to work.
Well, we had a good run. Yes, we did. Phone caller.
Sorry. Try back next week. Sorry about that. But before we go into the Pirates and their postseason, how that's going to look, we'll touch on the Steelers. We'll finish up with them. Yep. With Vic in right now at quarterback, Roethlisberger out 6 weeks, looking like maybe more possibly. How do you think the Steelers do as overall? Do you think they're a playoff team still, even with Vic in for at least 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think they're still a playoff team. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think that's a tough stretch. I know that we're lucky that we're playing these two divisional games at home while Roethlisberger's gone, but I think we'll get the second wild card spot. I think that the AFC is especially tough this year. You have teams that, you know, are showing that they can play, like the Buffalo Bills, teams that are going to compete for those spots. But in the end, I still think the Steelers have, when Ben Roethlisberger's healthy and they have everyone there, they have the best offense in football. So I think that that's a team that's going to get into the playoffs.
Ian?
I think we're fine. I think we're going to, like Sam said, we're going to be a playoff team. Division's up in the air. That comes down to – we're going to win games with Vic. Winning the division comes down to how many games we're going to win with Vic and how many division games we're going to win with Vic. He has the tools – that he needs. He has a running back. He has two
running backs.
Good running backs. People will debate that, but there's two good running backs. Best receiver in the league. That's debatable, but hands down, he's top 10 player in the NFL right now, Antonio Brown.
Sure.
Martavis Bryant back from his suspension in another week.
Yep.
So he's, if it's four games, he gets the, they gets him for three. If it's six, he gets him for five. And if it's more than that, that number to be determined. But I think we find good Heath Miller.
People don't talk about Heath
Miller.
Yeah.
He's more of a blocker nowadays, but he will catch a touchdown pass, two-point conversion pass.
Get him in the red zone, you know? It's one
that's
of those
where
things.
They use him in the red zone. He has the tools he needs. He just needs to take advantage of them.
Yeah. What about you, Colin? What do you think?
Now, it's nice that the bulk of their schedule comes after Roethlisberger will be back. With you're at Seattle, you play Denver, you play Cincinnati at Cincinnati, you play a lot of games that are tough in the second half after the bye. So that definitely helps because you're going to have Roethlisberger for that. So I definitely think that they can be a playoff team. Not a division winner because Cincinnati looks tough right now. Baltimore struggling. Cleveland, you never know with them. So definitely playoffs are still in the picture for sure. That's not out of the question right now. But you definitely need some quality play out of Vic in these next 5, 6, 7 games or whatever. But after the bye, hopefully you can transition with Roethlisberger and beat Seattle. You have to go against Seattle. You have
in
to go,
Seattle.
Exactly, don't in Seattle. That. You have Indianapolis. You have Cincinnati. You have tough teams, playoff teams, that are going to be playing good football then. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but I still think they're in a good position for a wild card. But, again, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how this Vic situation works out.
I think it could be interesting when it gets to playoffs, when you're thinking about the Steelers, because they will be, you know, a lower seed, I think. And it's going to be one of those things where they're going to be a team that people overlook because, you know, they, you know, had such a tough middle of the season, as I think they will with Michael Vick. Because, you know, everyone's going to be talking about the Patriots. You know, Tom Brady's playing with a purpose right now. Cincinnati's playing really well. People are talking about Cincinnati's a Super Bowl contender. I didn't think I'd see the day where I saw that.
Me neither.
So, you know, it should be a wait and see thing, but I think that could be really good for the Steelers. You know, when they won back in 2005, they were a 6th seed. You know, the Steelers historically have played well when people don't think they will.
Definitely. And if Denver makes the playoffs at a high seed, if they get Denver, that's always a winnable game in the playoffs, it seems like, in the past couple of years. Denver hasn't played well.
Well, I mean, you know, we can talk about what happened with Tim Tebow, but I prefer not to bring that
exactly,
one up.
Exactly, exactly.
And back to my comment about Vic having the tools he needs, I want to complete that thought. He has the tools he needs, running back, wide receivers, but he has to be able to have the fundamentals to hand the ball off to him and get his receivers the ball. That's what I mean. He has the tools he needs. Now he needs to capitalize.
Yep.
It's not like he has a bum receiver and a bum tight end and a bum running back. He is arguably the best running back and the best receiver in the league, arguably.
Yeah. I mean,
take advantage of it. He can't go in there and, like, fumble the ball in the handoff, throw a pass way over his head when he's wide open, throw an interception, fumble the ball, and just get totally rattled. He needs to go in there, and he needs to play the football. He has. Everybody knows Michael Vick can play football, young or old. He wasn't too shabby with the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Jets, he struggled, but that was a job that he shouldn't have been offered and he shouldn't have taken. It wasn't his type of
yeah. The Steelers position. Just have to learn to play with him. That's really it.
He's
know?
Your backup. You got to kind of, right now,
you have to adjust.
You have to accommodate him in a way. Which it would be nice if we could actually sit in on coordinators' meetings, like sit on coaches' meetings,
thinking.
Sit on team meetings right now, and see if they're actually trying to accommodate. Because you got to accommodate him. You brought him in. You know what he brings. I don't think he should accommodate to how the team is. He should somewhat, but you can't take a guy that runs the ball and say, "Oh, you're not running anymore. Sorry, you're in our system now." He's a runner. He's going to run.
Exactly. And we'll transition to the Pirates now. I think we've talked enough Steelers today.
Yeah, we covered all our bases, I think.
Definitely. But the Pirates last night didn't look good on a lot of different aspects of baseball. You know, left runners on base, an error that cost them possibly the game. And Hap looked good, but, you know, they took him out early. You know, that's arguable. You could touch that, you know, they needed it in that situation. But
he's playing like a veteran right now.
Definitely. But Ian, what do you think was the most costly thing about last night?
Oh, he's got a lot to say.
Oh, that's obvious. That was a 16 LOBs left on base. That can't happen any point in the season, let alone the team ahead of you in the division standings right now in the last week of regular season play. Can't happen. That game should have been, say St. Louis gets those three runs at the end of the game, we should have won that game at least 10-3 or 10-0, depending on if they would have got those three runs, because Melanson wouldn't have been in there. But another thing I want to capitalize on, this is big. 16 men left on base. Only 6 of those guys got on base via a hit. Pedro walked 3, 1 intentional, 2 on 4 balls. Cervelli walked at the end in the 9th. They literally gave you free airs, too. They literally gave you freedom through the base paths.
And we had these guys on with 2 outs, 1 out. You know, we had, I think it was the 3rd inning.
That's the big thing. 4 times bases were left loaded with less than 1 out. I understand 2 outs, sometimes you load the bases and the pitcher comes up, or your weakling in the lineup comes up.
That's what happened. We had 2 times where you got Jordy Mercer, Francisco Cervelli, and J.A. Happ coming up in the bottom.
You got to capitalize bases loaded 4 times.
And I agree with that. You definitely have to capitalize. 16 men left on base cannot happen, especially if you don't score any runs. I mean, that's just ridiculous, especially in a game that you need.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
And the Cardinals, they left guys on base, like 2. But the guys that they got in, they got them in when they knew they had to get them in.
Timely hitting.
It was crucial. It was good time. Yes, they scored their first run on an error on Polanco and Kutch. Polanco probably only got the error. They capitalized on an error. We could have capitalized on errors, and we didn't. And there was times when Rick Sofield, the third base coach, held up, I think it was Marte. Could they have sent him? You don't know. When they sent him that one time and he got caught out, look who was up next. So it was Happ.
They had to.
They had to send him, and that was their only big chance. Well, they had a ton of chances to score, but that was the only time when they actually sent someone to the plate.
Yeah, and I agree.
To score. So it's frustrating. Kutch showed his frustrations in the post game. If you heard his remarks, you could have mixed feelings about that. I thought basically what he said was they asked him about how he fumbled the ball in the outfield, and that was when he was picking up Polanco's misplayed ball in the outfield. And he said, I was picking up a wet ball, something like this, picking up a wet ball that wasn't even supposed to be my ball to pick up and throw in. That's frustration. Yes, he dissed his teammate, his fellow outfielder, Gregory Polanco. It's frustration. People say things like that negatively when you're frustrated. Lost 2 games, both shutouts to the top 3 teams in the division, 3 NL playoff teams. Take his words for what they are. I've been thinking about his words all day. Negative, yes. Frustration, yes, and that's the key. But he's the leader. Most leaders don't say that. We'll go back to Ben Roethlisberger. He always says, someone brought this up to me earlier, that he always takes the blame for his miscues. He doesn't blame it on his receivers or extra fellow offensive teammates. So Kutch shouldn't blame his defensive woes on the weather or his fellow outfielders.
Yeah. See, the thing for me, I'm really upset with Andrew McCutchen. I think that as a veteran leader on that team, he has to step up. He has to suck it up because, you know what? We all make mistakes. But the Pirates are a great team. The Pirates are a great team. They made a mistake. They should have won that game, and they didn't. But this is something that you're going to have happen to you because it's baseball. It's a 162-game season. People are going to make mistakes. Instead of, you know, sitting there and blaming Polanco, who's a young player, you have to rally around him. Yeah. You know, he has to be a leader. And that makes me upset because I love Andrew McCutchen. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. He's Pittsburgh's guy right now. You know, they love him. But he's got to set that example, and he's got to show that, you know, because Andrew McCutchen, you know, there's been times where he hasn't been able to step up in those big moments, you know?
Just last week, he struck out 3 times in a game.
Yeah, it's been rough. I mean, it's been a good year for the Pirates, but it comes down to this.
Hopefully this doesn't escalate more than what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been an emotional ride. You know, you finally get St. Louis in town. You're looking to get the sweep. You definitely need game one. Playoff experience
on North Shore.
And just things don't go your way. You leave 16 on base. You have an error late in the game that's just essential that you can't have. So it definitely hurts. I understand McCutchen, you know, a little upset after the game. It's going to happen. Just I'm hoping that they can bounce back. I mean, they're still technically not out of it, but they need these next 2 games for sure. If they lose any of those, then they're done. But at least they're still in the playoffs. So definitely don't get too – I hope they don't get too down. But going back, they took out Happ very early. He, I think, only allowed 1 hit in the game when he was taken out, less than 65 pitches. Ian, if you were in Hurdle's position, would you have taken Happ out?
No. I don't. Did they say that Hurdle? I didn't hear why Hurdle said he pulled him. It wasn't because of his pitch count. He was only at 65, unless they were purposely trying to keep him under 70, but I don't know why. Or because it definitely wasn't the way he was pitching. One hitter, one guy on base because of that one hit. He was pitching like a veteran out there. He was pitching like he should be one of the top 3 starters. And he should be pitching the wild card if you didn't have Garrett Cole or Francisco Liriano. But Cole is going to probably get the start if we get the wild card game. He'll go up against Arrieta next Wednesday. I don't know. Happ was pitching the way he is. Something made him pull him.
I don't think we're on right now.
We're not on?
Because I'm getting text saying that all this time my Brit Nicole was playing. And it's religious music. So I don't know how that...
Hello, we're back. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but I'm Colin Wilson, filling in for Zach Lawford tonight, who couldn't be here. We got Ian Kist, Sam Anthony, and we're Sports Talk in the Berg. We were talking about the Pirates. Ian touched on his feelings about Happ, whether he liked the Happ situation and take him out with only a one-hitter, only less than 65 pitches on the night. Ian said he didn't like it. He thought that he should let Happ in. We didn't get Sam's input on that. Sam, how do you feel about the Happ situation getting taken out so early?
So, every year you get with the Pirates, you know. Last year they finished 2 games away from the Cardinals, and the year before that they finished 3 games out. And each one's been kind of marred by questionable decisions. Last year you had Clint Hurdle decide to pitch Garrett Cole on that Sunday when really the chances of us winning that division were slim, you know, and we still ended up losing that game. We ended up being 2 games out anyway because the Cardinals still won. And, you know, that you put in Francisco Liriano against, you know, Madison Bumgarner, who had the postseason of a lifetime. And, you know, it's the kind of stuff like that that, you know, makes you wonder. And I think stuff like that was the reason that Clint Hurdle made that decision. J.A. Happ, though, I don't know why J.A. Happ was not even in that discussion to start the wild card game. You know, you have two guys really ahead of him. I know Burnett's just getting back and struggling a little bit, but I would put Liriano in before I'd put J.A. Happ.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't necessarily. It's definitely a difficult situation. You know, they did need a timely hit right there in that game. That's why I took out Happ, but. It's almost like Hap's dealing. I mean, he's going to give you some quality innings to come. Hopefully, you know, you can get something with the lineup you have in later on in the game. I mean, it looks at that point it looked like they only needed a run or two. So in that situation, to let Happ hit, yes, it might cost you then, but later on in the game, I mean, they left 16 on. Obviously, they had opportunities. They just didn't cash in those opportunities. If Happ keeps up, I mean, it still probably would have been, you know, the Pirates pitchers still did well until I think the ninth inning. They allowed the three runs and everything. But
if we get to a series, NLDS, for example, regardless how we get there, win the wild card game, win the division, your rotation, Happ has to be in that rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it means
for sure.
Locke, for some reason they keep going with Locke. I think it's a – someone brought up a good good comment about how they think it's basically Burnett keeping him in the lineup, him in the starting rotation, because they're close, and Burnett convincing his coaches, Ray Searidge and Hurdle, Coach Hurdle, that Locke needs to be in the lineup. Now, if you keep him in the lineup and him in the rotation with Happ, you then have Burnett, obviously Cole and Liriano. And then that leaves out Charlie Morton.
I'm okay with that.
Typically in the playoffs, you send two of your starters. Now, we basically have six starters right now. Happ could be in the bullpen as the long guy. Morton could be in the bullpen as the long guy. Locke can be in the bullpen as the long guy. Do you think Happ definitely has to be considered in a start in the NLDS? Yeah,
100%.
For sure.
I think you
the way it goes, he gets... He's the one that kind of gets cut in terms of, in my eyes, I feel like they're going to give Locke and Morton the chance to go out there before Happ. But, and we've questioned Clint Hurdle's decisions the past few weeks. This is a big one he has to make, and I feel like it's going to be he's going to do the opposite of what we think. He took Happ out last night. If he had confidence in Happ, he would have kept him in.
And I don't know
and
why
do you think
is.
He's going to cut him? Because he thinks that Locke and Morton could be better of a quality start than J. Hay Happ.
I mean, for me, when I'm looking at a team, I think that you have to look at who's playing well now. Who's going to get me the wins now? And right now, the answer is J. Hay Happ. The answer is J. Hay Happ, Francisco Liriano, Garrett Cole. Those are your three best pitchers. And I know that, you know, you have A.J. Burnett. They love A.J. Burnett there. And I know it's his last year. You want him to go out, you know, one big last hurrah. But he's an old guy, you know, and he's performed well this season. But he needs, you know, he'd be a guy that would be great in the bullpen. That's just my opinion.
And I agree with you. You definitely need Happ, you need Liriano, you need Cole. Those are your three guys that are dealing right now. You definitely need them in quality baseball in the postseason, especially against a team like St. Louis, who's going to give you guys that are going to keep you to one, two runs. So you definitely need guys like Happ, who last night looked phenomenal. They took him out early in a questionable situation. But to punish Happ and take him out of the rotation for what he's been doing so far, I think that would be ridiculous. I definitely don't see Hurdle doing that. I would not agree with that as a fan, and I don't see how that would be plausible.
I think that fans will be very upset with Clint Hurdle and the team in general if we have another wild card stop. You know, I think go ahead.
I thought of this. Sorry for interrupting. I thought of this. Earlier today, while playing PlayStation, ironically, I recreated the wild card game, the Pirates and the Cubs, and I thought of this. If the Pirates play in the wild card game, they lose to Jake Arrieta. Any consideration in getting rid of Hurdle? I thought of that.
I mean,
yeah, you made the playoffs three straight years. You made the wild card game. If you lose, If we win, of course they're going to keep him. If we lose, he's 1-2 in the wild card game.
If it was a bigger
maybe
city.
Maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe I'm going to get heat for this. I don't know. I think you're playing a good pitcher. If you lose, a good team, young team.
I love Clint Hurdle. I think Clint Hurdle as a person is very good at creating chemistry in that dugout. You see that.
He made us a playoff team.
Exactly. Exactly. He built us to what we are today.
He took 1 year, got us over 500. We didn't make the playoffs. But then we made him. We've had four quality seasons.
But historically, you look at Clint Hurdle, and he's a guy that hasn't been able to win the big games. You know, when he was with Colorado, and they went to the World Series in 2007, they got swept in four games. That was a huge run. You know, they ended up winning that tiebreaker game and going to the playoffs, having a huge run like nobody thought they would. But he still hasn't been able to get there to achieve those goals, and that's as far as he's been in the playoffs. The only other time he's been in the playoffs is with Pittsburgh. You know, they got rid of him, and I know it's a different team. I know it's a different environment from Colorado to Pittsburgh. This is more of a sports town. But that's a valid point. You do have to think, you know, is Clint Hurdle going to be that guy that can get us over the hump? And right now it doesn't look like he is.
And I agree. I mean, and also last year, you know, with starting Cole in the last day of the regular season, you know, that definitely had an issue. And that was – and, you know, fans looked at that. They definitely look at it differently now, like that – maybe you shouldn't have done that. It might have cost us the wild card win. And this year, if he not to start Hap in the postseason, you know, if they make it past the wild card, fans are going to look at Hurdle like, you know, he's keeping us away from something special.
Can Hurdle his postseason success?
Oh, that hurt me a little bit. Oh, Ian.
Can he surpass what he's already done in the postseason?
He's got to. This is make or break. I know that it isn't something that people have been talking about a lot, but Pittsburgh's not that kind of organization. You know, Pittsburgh, you look at the Steelers, they've had three coaches in their entire history. You know, and the Pittsburgh Pirates have struggled. That's a different story. You know, when you're not winning, you're not going to keep your job.
Make coaching changes.
But, I mean, they are being successful. They are getting better each
Hurdle
year.
Hurdle has the this tools is, he needs.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no excuse for them not to have a playoff run. They have the tools, and especially when you're looking at the St. Louis Cardinals that are injured right now, Yadier Molina might not even be able to start in the postseason.
Biscotti's
out,
night.
And you have Carlos Martinez that's out. This is Pirates are the best team in baseball. There's no way you can't argue that. Maybe the Toronto Blue Jays, but they have to be the best team in the National League.
They're the hottest team in baseball right now.
They've had the best record.
We're arguably the best team. Yeah. In baseball.
You're looking since May 21st, the Pirates have had the best record in baseball. They have outplayed every team.
And that's after
team.
A month of struggles.
It didn't look good.
They got it clicking real quick in the month of May, and then they just sped off.
And that tells you a lot about the team, you know, a team that can overcome these struggles. And I think that you're going to be facing a lot of adversity, especially in that wild card game. You know, they haven't been able to figure out Jake Arrieta, and they're going to need to fast. And that's something that a team that is
if you get him in the wild card game, he can't throw a no hitter through seven again.
Yeah,
got to get to him early. Someone told me earlier today.
That's what I mean. When the Pirates won this eight in a row, you know, last week, they were scoring in the first inning. They were scoring four or five runs in the first
Colorado.
Inning.
They scored every four games in the first inning.
And it doesn't have to be the first inning, but you got to look first three innings.
And then
you have to get ahead.
They built a comfortable lead that it's not good to give up. Like they were up like 6-0. Well, then they gave up four runs, so they were down by 3-2. But you had that cushion that all of a sudden the other team didn't score three runs. You were down three, or you were down four, or you were down five. You were up and were able to build off, and then they were able to blow it up and win by like 6 or 7, but got to get early.
And the Pirates this season, they have one of the best records coming from behind in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Battling Bucks.
But you can't do that in the playoffs. You can't do that in the playoffs because it's a
different
game. You
can't rely on your, like, battling Bucks when they call and when we battle back from deficits. You can't rely on that. Like last night, we couldn't battle back.
Yeah.
In a game that we need to win. You can't always rely on, okay, we're down, but we're going to battle back because we've done it all season. You can't rely on that, especially in a one game,
yeah.
Win or go home.
When you're playing a team like the Chicago Cubs that have been playing like they've been playing too, like, you know,
have a fantastic coach.
Yeah, like Joe Maddon knows what he's doing. He's got all these young players. I think the only thing that the Pirates have over the Chicago Cubs right now is the fact that Chicago has all that youth, and we have players that have been here.
We have experience. Not a lot of experience.
But more Cervelli, experience than them.
Cervelli and Burnett have the most playoff experiences. They both have rings. But the Cubs, they haven't. 1908, last time they won a World Series.
Now, after last night's game, the Pirates fall to 4 games behind St. Louis for the division spot. Do you, with 5 games left, do you see the Pirates?
No. They're done.
Cardinals, they have to win out and the Cardinals have to lose out. We could very well win out. Colin, you brought up how the Indians won 10 straight a few years back. It's not impossible. It's not going to be unbelievable if they do it. But the Cardinals, the bigger issue is the Cardinals having to lose.
Yes.
And the next, tomorrow's doubleheader, so we got to win those two. So then we win, and the Cardinals can't gain anything. They lose.
Exactly.
But after Wednesday, we win, and the Cardinals win, and the Gates our win, basically. And they have the Braves. We have Cincy, but they have a lesser of an opponent.
And also, it's going to come down to, have that opportunity to where you have to go into Cincinnati and St. Louis has to go to Atlanta because you just beat St. Louis twice, then you have to decide of who to pitch. Do you want to go with Cole? Do you want to go with Cole in one of those games? Do you want
to
go?
So you're saying if it comes down to...
Well, that's kind of like last season.
They'll have the option because Cole's next start will be tomorrow. Last start will be in the regular season. It's scheduled for tomorrow. So if he has to pitch, say, Sunday, he can very well do it. Where do you save Or do you pitch Happ in that game?
Because you have the options.
Your three options have to be obviously Cole one, Liriano second, Happ third.
But you guys both said that you didn't see it happening, correct? Yep. You don't see the Pirates catching St. Louis. So right now it looks as if it'll be Cole versus Arrieta in the wild card game. How do you think the Pirates perform there, assuming it's at PNC? Against Arrieta, who looked phenomenal the other night and hit a home run.
Here's the one thing that I think could be really good for the Pirates is that crowd. Every wildcard game you've seen in PNC, you've seen, they're going to be sitting there. They're going to be calling Arrieta's name. They're going to be – and for someone who, Arrieta, even though he's pitching so well, he's young still. He's young.
So you make it rattle.
It's a playoff atmosphere. The Pirates have to take advantage of that. That's where they need to get early. They need to get going because he's not going to – once Arrieta gets comfortable in that crowd and he realizes that that's not going to do anything to him, that's when the Pirates are in trouble.
And I know he's not a Cueto, but we get under Cueto's skin.
Yeah.
He dropped the ball.
Yeah.
The crowd will definitely get under Arrieta's skin. He's going to know that, though. I don't think Cueto expected that.
No, because there's never been a play. I mean, it was 20 years since the last play.
But I don't even figured that was going to happen.
Yeah.
He probably thought it was going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah.
And he didn't even last four full innings, I don't think. Well, it was 4 or 5. He dropped the ball. He dropped the ball because of the fans. Yeah. Arrieta's going to prepare for that, I think. I don't think it really happened last year because Bumgarner really couldn't chant his name. Cueto was easy. Arrieta's easy. But I'm not going to have fingernails at the end of the game because it's going to be a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be pretty. I think there's going to be a few errors, but I do think both Cole can give up runs. If it is Cole, we don't even know. We're assuming it's going to be Cole and Arrieta. Cole will give up runs. Arrieta will give up runs. Who can come up with that clutch hitting?
And I agree.
You got to see McCutchen. The answer is McCutchen.
McCutchen goes up there and strikes out in the pivotal moment, is he a team captain? Which he is, but he's going to get – he's a team leader, but he's going to get criticized for it.
You're going to look at he'll be the Tony Romo of baseball. Can he pull in those big moments?
Can't capitalize in the postseason.
Well, on that note, we've ran out of time today. We'll hang it up here. Sports Talk in the Berg, Colin Wilson, Ian Kiss, Sam Anthony. Zach Lawford was not here tonight, but he hopefully will be here next week.
So I can run the technology because we don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. We struggled a little bit today. Sorry about that, but I promise you we'll get better. RMU Central Media Radio, your campus, your voice. Thank you.